So many times I've questioned certain circumstances and things I could not understand. And many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision. That's when my frustration gets so out of hand. And it's then I am reminded that I've never been forsaken, and I've never had to stand one test alone. When the Spirit rises up in me, and it rises up in me, and it's through the fire my weakness is made strong. I know within myself I would surely perish, but if I trust the hand of God, He shields the flames again, again. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fighting, and He said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says, give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up, and He will take you. Just hold on. Our Lord will show up, and He will take you through the fire again. Again.
Well, has anybody been through the fire this morning? Say amen. That's our Lord. He is still in the fire. In fact, what I mean by that is, over in the book of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the burning fiery furnace. And as we read the verses there, we find out that Nebuchadnezzar looked in and said, lo, I see a fourth man that is in that fire, like unto the Son of God. And I got to thinking about that one day, and no surrounding verses, no other sister verses that relate to the book of Daniel or anything like that ever told us that, well, the Lord got out of the fire. And so this morning, He's in the fire. He is with us to lead us, guide us, direct us, protect us, educate us with the fires of life. And we're grateful and thankful that the Lord is with us. I want to welcome everyone to Calvary Baptist Church, Powder Springs. It is so good to see you this morning. And see, Miss Townsend came in just a moment ago, Miss Shirley, and what a blessing to see her. Then, of course, Miss Mary is back with us, been out for some time now and has recovered fully from COVID. And there was another family that hadn't been here in a couple of weeks. I wonder who. The Martins. We are so thankful to have them back this morning. Jackson back on the drums and CJ on the bass guitar. And what a blessing it is to have them back. And Miss Catherine back on the organ. And the Lord's working. And we're excited, I'm telling you, to get good reports. Nowadays, it's a shot in the arm, a good shot in the arm. But Anyway, welcome this morning. We want to mention a few things. I want to start off by saying happy ninth birthday to Carter Martin. Right. And Miss Amanda told us that, you know, days leading up to his birthday, his one of his requests was that he wanted to be in church. And for a young person of his age to desire to be in church, that is just a wonderful thing. And Carter is a blessing to everybody here. So happy birthday, buddy. We love you. And we're just excited this morning to be in the house of the Lord. I encourage all of us, all of you as well, to pick up or to view our bulletin, which is on our Calvary Ministries website, www.calvaryministries.org, and you'll find a bulletin there. That's a list of all of our prayer requests and current events, things taking place. But nonetheless, we encourage you to do that. I wasn't going to say anything, but I wanted to brag just a moment on the kind of help I've had this week. I really didn't know, didn't plan, and really don't mention a lot about things I deal with on a personal level, just because. But my back went out this past week, and it happened, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours before what would have been our Wednesday night service. And but doing much better today, but I've had the best nurse in this world this past week. And so, Miss Christie, let me be clear, let me be plain. she has waited on me literally hand in foot, and I appreciate her. You glad you're here this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, let's worship the Lord through music, and then we will bring the message in just a moment, and let us pray. Heavenly Father, we bow in Jesus' name this morning, and we are a thankful people. Lord, the good news of your people being back in your house, Lord, it is medicine to our hearts. We're hearing so many bad reports in our day, and things need to be said so we can pray and know those things and pray about them. But it's such a great, great thing to hear a great report. So good to see some of these who haven't been here in a while. I pray, Lord, that you would continually touch them, those who have been sick, and they're well now, lead and guide them. And for everyone else on our prayer list that we pray for regularly, God, you know who needs what. You know who's sick physically. You know who needs help mentally. Lord, you know the household that's struggling financially. And you know, Lord, the parents that need help parentally. There may be even some marriages out there that needs help maritally, Lord. We pray that you would be God in all of their lives. And Father, today we pray for America in the situation that we're in. Father, we know that all things are in your control, and Lord, you are able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Father, we do pray. We're starting, Lord, with the new administration in the White House. Father, all the way down to the common person right here in Powder Springs. Lord, let America turn to you. Help us, Lord, as the church, be messengers of the gospel during this time and tell a lost and dying world about Jesus and about how he gives ultimate peace, how that he changes lives. Lord, I pray this morning that you'll bless the service, bless the singing, bless the preaching, and we'll praise you for all things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Choir, would you stand with me? Church, would you stand with me this morning? And I'd love for us to go back and sing what the guys were playing just a few moments ago. Page number 393. Let's sing When We All Get to Heaven. All right, everyone sing together now.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. What?
on the last. Onward to the prize before us, soon his beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Sing that chorus again. Sing the chorus, choir. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Amen. Thank you, church. You can be seated. It's great to see you this morning in the house of the Lord. And we are living in a very... It's a changing time. It seems every time we turn around, something's changing. But I'm glad to know of one thing. We serve a God that changeth not. He's the same today, yesterday, and forevermore, watching over us, caring for us. And I'm thankful this morning just to have an opportunity to be in his house. Let's worship him. Let's praise him this morning because he's worthy. Pray for the choir as we sing this morning.
Broken by sin and all its illusion, I weighed the gain against the loss. Oh, but I found the answer in the midst of confusion. I found victory at the foot of the cross. I found victory at the foot of the cross, where the Savior conquered it all. I had doubts from the now I have joy that only he gives me. He saved my soul from eternal loss. Oh, and thank God when I climbed Calvary's mountain, I found victory at the foot of the cross.
appreciate that, Brother David. Again, it's good to be here this morning. And looks like our crowd is growing back a little. And what a blessing that is. I want to, something I didn't do, I've been forgetting to do, but I want to remind everybody of our tithes and offerings at the end of the service. And so remember that on our way out, you'll have opportunity to give. And then I want to acknowledge our visitor in the back. She's not new here anymore, but she's visited for some time, and not trying to embarrass her. But I just want to let you know we appreciate you being with us. And what a blessing. What a blessing. This morning I want to get right into the message as we did last Sunday morning. And I do want to bow for a word of prayer. And then we will bring about the message for this morning. Father, we come in Jesus' name this morning. The name that's above every name, Lord, we pray in the next few moments that you'd be with us and help us to rightly divide your word. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would apply your word to the hearts of those watching, those listening, and let it be said that by the time we leave, we're in better shape than the time we came. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. When I think of examples this morning, I think of the world's greatest example of all times, and that is Jesus. What greater example can there be than one who would give their own life's blood for a wicked, wicked and perverse people? I guess we could say that he gave his best for the worst. You know, there's a song that actually sings that. He gave the best for the worst. And I actually think about the story of the prodigal son who came home all dirty. And yet his father put a ring on his finger, gave him a robe to wear, and killed the fatted calf. And I'm glad this morning that the Lord gave his very best for the worst. He was humble and kind, caring and considerate. He wept when others wept. He was provider and encourager. He saw potential in others, gave opportunities for others to serve. He loved children. He helped the poor. He healed the sick. He was a leader to those that wandered and a guide to those that were blind. He lived and died and rose again. No greater example than we have than in the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. World's greatest example. He did all of those things and much more. This morning, when I think of Jesus being this great example, and I think of the life that he lived, we can condense his life down into three separate or three different stages. Number one, there is the silent stage in his life. And then there was the serving stage in the life of the Lord. And then there was the sacrificial stage. We can condense the life of Christ into three stages: the silent period, the serving period, and the sacrificial period. This morning, I want to look into these three stages. The life of the Lord. I want to glean, do my best to try to glean some things out of each stage. Because I feel like that there are some things that are applicable from his life to our life. Yes, he's the Lord, and yes, he was perfect, but some of the things that he endured, some of the things that he went through is very, very much so applicable. We can glean from some of the things that he went through. And since Christ is the greatest example, I think it's fitting to use him and his life stages. And so with that said, this morning, I want to preach for a few moments on the three stages of the life of Christ. The three separate stages of the life of Christ. Again, some of the things that he experienced, I know we have and will experience. And so I hope and I pray that these things would be a blessing to you. Number one, I want you to notice or listen, and then we'll turn to our Bible verse, our first one. There's the silent stage or the silent period. This was from Christ's birth to 30 years old. And this is known as that silent period before he came on the scene and revealed who he was. And I want you to notice as well that it was during these silent years there were no miracles being performed. There was no walking on water, and there was no raising the dead. Silent years. While there were definite silent years from his birth to 30, because it was 30 to 33 was his life's work, his ministry. While those were silent years, no miracles, no walking on water, no raising the dead. They were silent years, but there was still activity taking place in his life. There was still activity that surrounded his life. And I want you to notice, if you have your Bibles, let's take our Bibles and turn to Luke chapter number 2. Now, I realize we use these verses primarily around Christmas, but I want to call your attention to something that I think will help us all. These were silent years, but during these silent years, there was still activity taking place. Now, in Luke chapter number 2, we see the activity of the Lord's birth. And I want to say this, that the thing that surrounded the birth of Christ had to do with God's providence, His providence. Now, in Luke chapter number 2, notice verse number 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Again, these were the silent years, but there was activity taking place. His birth took place. And the thing that was attached to his birth that was so awesome and amazing, even during the silent period, was the providence of God. God was still working. In verse number 1, I want you to notice that there was an agent that God used to bring this all about. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Caesar Augustus was the agent that God used to bring about this taxation. And so we know that Joseph and Mary, they went back to Joseph's home place so that he could be taxed or held accountable for. And so it was through Caesar Augustus bringing out this taxation, announcing that got Joseph and Mary back to Bethlehem for the birth of our Lord. And it was prophesied for hundreds of years that he would be born there. Over and over in the Old Testament being prophesied of the birthplace of Jesus. But what's amazing to me is that the providence of God, or the working of God, it was amazing that how that God can use someone who had no idea what was taking place. How that God used Caesar Augustus, this agent, to bring about such a great work, to bring Joseph and Mary back to Bethlehem and so that the baby Jesus would be born. I want to say this morning, this was a silent period. There was no miracles taking place. There was no walking on the water, no raising of the dead, yet there was activity. And it was the activity of the Lord's birth. God was working providentially. And I want to say to you and I this morning, many times in life we experience silent periods where there's no miracles taking place. There's no walking on water, no raising of the dead, nothing great and mighty taking place. It just seems like it's a silent time, or that possibly God is silent on us. But don't mistake it. Many times the Lord does some of His greatest work when things are silent, when things are quiet. There's still activity taking place in our lives. The Lord and His providence, the same way that Caesar Augustus had no idea that he was that secret agent that God was using to bring about this great work. I want to encourage you this morning that though there may not be a lot of things taking place in your life, and things may be a little bit on the quieter side when it comes to the Lord and seeing great and mighty things working in your life, just hang in there and just keep praying, keep waiting, and watching for the Lord to move, because He does amazing things providentially when things are quiet. Not only do we see the activity of the Lord's birth during this silent period, but then in Luke chapter number 2, we see the activity of the Lord's boyhood during this silent period. Now, turn if you would over a page. We're in Luke chapter number 2. Turn over a page and notice in verse number 40, the Lord is now growing, He's maturing. And in Luke 2, verse number 40, the Bible says, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." This was the activity of the Lord's boyhood, and this has to do with progression. No raising of the dead at this point. No miracles at this. No walking on water. None of those things taking place. It was a silent time, yet there was activity. There was progression in the life of the Lord. Not only providence concerning His birth, but there was progression in His life. The Lord was growing. Look again in verse number 40. "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." You see, it's the only natural order of a human life is to grow. It's to go from being a baby to a young person, and then teenager, and then adult. And so we see that these things are taking place in the life of the Lord, yet it was a silent period. The Bible says that the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. I believe this is reference to the Lord getting strong emotionally, getting strong mentally, getting strong spiritually at this point in His life. You see, sometimes there's silent periods we go through. But rest assured, there is something beneath the surface taking place, because the Lord is always trying to progress us on the inside. Many times He is wanting us to have a stronger spirit. He is trying to mature us from being a baby in the Lord to a more mature believer in the Lord. Many times we look around and we say, "Oh, things are silent, nothing's going on, and God's not moving." But what about on the inside of us? Are we growing? Are we advancing spiritually in our lives? And so the child grew, it says in verse 40, and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. He began to learn the wisdom of man on top of the wisdom of God, of course. But he began to learn in these areas. The Bible also says that the grace of God was upon him. The favor of God was upon him. The spiritual condition of one governed by the power of divine grace can be summarized in that phrase: the grace of God was upon him. Again, the spiritual condition of one governed by the power of divine grace. And so grace was guiding him. God was maturing him during this time, the silent period in his life. So there was activity in his boyhood. Again, child of God, just remember when things are calm and things are quiet and it seems like nothing's happening of great, anything great to mention, just know that the Lord is always working. He is always active. He wants us to grow. He wants us to mature in our life for His honor and for His glory. And so we see that during these silent years, there was the activity of the Lord's boyhood. There was the activity of the Lord's birth. God was working providentially. God was progressing him in maturity. I want you to notice something else here in Luke 2. Verse number 49 tells us that during this silent period, God revealed to the Lord his mission. Verse 49, and he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? There came a place in time during these silent years where the Lord, he was growing strong mentally. He was growing strong spiritually and strong emotionally. And he was progressing in life during these silent years. He was filled with wisdom. The grace of God was upon him. And at the right moment, I believe that God revealed to him his plan for his life. There came a time where the young Jesus understood what he came for on this earth. It was revealed to him. And he uses, in verse 49, he says, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? There is revelation during silent times in life. Meaning God, that's when God speaks to us the very most, is during those quiet times. When not much is taking place, it just seems like business as usual. Routine day in, day out. Struggles from start to finish. God, many and much of the time, reveals to us His will if we're listening. And so He revealed here to the young Lord what His mission was, and He just repeated it. So we see that there was a revelation when it came to the Lord in His boyhood. And there was progression when it came to the Lord in His boyhood. Are you growing this morning during this pandemic time we're going through? When it seems like everybody has all this time or extra time at home, are we picking up our Bibles? Are we reading our Bibles? How is our prayer life? Are we growing? Are we progressing? Is the question. Well, we see that that was taking place. There was progression. And then there was providence. We see the silent years of the Lord's life. Again, 0 to 30. No miracles, no raising of the dead, no walking on water. But no mistake about it, God providentially was working and progressing him. I want us to look at the second period of the life of Christ. Not only there's the silent period, but then there's the serving period. The serving period. This serving period would span from 30 years old to 33 years old. Two things stand out to me personally when it comes to this serving period and during this time. Number one, during this serving period, people were involved in his life. People. Turn to Matthew chapter number 3, if you would. Matthew chapter number 3. People were involved, and this first person was John the Baptist. And we see that John the Baptist introduced Christ to the world. He prepared the way for Christ and introduced his public ministry. Look in Matthew chapter number 3, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, look at this word, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. So we see that there was people involved in the life of Christ during his serving period. John the Baptist introduced him to the world. But I want you to notice that John the Baptist prepared for his introduction to the world. John the Baptist, with his crazy clothes and coming out of the wilderness, he had the voice of one, but it was a loud voice. And he preached repentance toward God. And he said, make his path straight. He was the forerunner of Jesus. And so there was some preparatory work that was being done before Jesus came. When I sit and I think about the serving period, and I think about life, and I think about how the life of Christ and his serving period can relate to our lives, I have to say that many times, I'm sure you could testify as well as I can, that there are people that help prepare your way in your life. Has there ever been somebody when you were struggling, when you were trying to come up in life, that helped prepare your way? Was maybe a parent, of course, parents, but maybe a friend or someone like that, a relative, helped prepare your way? I can think about my early days and being a believer. And I think about, of course, Brother Berman and how he would stand and how he would preach and how that, you know, I would see him during the week because I used to work there. And I knew him in church. I knew him out of church. Ate plenty of times with him, heard him talk. You see, Brother Berman was that person in my life that I watched. It was that person in my life that I watched the way that he walked, and I watched the way that he talked, so to speak. I watched what he did with his life. And so he was very instrumental in my life. He helped prepare the way that I would take. And so the Lord is the same way in our lives. He'll use people along the way to help you out when you need a hand to help prepare things for your life's journey. I also think about Brother Johnny Ivey. How that I met Brother Johnny when we were in between churches. And Brother Johnny, he literally took me under his wing. We went to his church for a while. Then he had the Bible college. And every time I'd call Brother Johnny, every time I'd talk to Brother Johnny, he was always welcoming. He's always compassionate. He was always someone that was there to listen and to help. He was always there. In fact, he corrected a few times, had to correct some things a few times with me when it came to Bible college. But praise the Lord, I finally got it after a while. But Brother Johnny was one that the Lord used to help prepare the way for me. And we can go on and on this morning about me and my life, but I'm sure that there are those in your life that's helped prepare your way to where you are today. This serving period had to do with people. And his introduction was by John the Baptist, and he prepared his way. But there's a second thing when it comes to the people that were involved during his serving period. He was introduced by John the Baptist, but we see that the Lord influenced others. The influence Christ had on others. Think about it. He was introduced into the world by John the Baptist. And then when the Lord began his ministry after his baptism, what happened? Well, there were those who watched the way that he walked and listened to the way that he talked. And he started to form his disciples and called them by their names. And this morning, when it comes to the Lord having influence in the life of others, one major reason, or here's a few different reasons, but one was because the love he had. He was very influential because he was a God of love. He loved those to the end, he says. Not only his love, but people followed him because of his patience. And he was forgiving and compassionate. Therefore, he had a tremendous positive influence on people. How is our influence this morning? Are we influencing people in a positive way? Are we people of love? Are we people that are patient with other people? What kind of people are we? Again, this is the serving period of the Lord's life, and people were involved. He influenced people. There were the disciples who were casting nets, and they left their nets. There were those who were tax collectors, and they left their pen and paper for him, to follow him. All kinds of different backgrounds all came together because this Lord was a loving Lord. He was a patient Lord, a compassionate Lord. So we see that during his serving period, he influenced the life of others. Time and time again, the Apostle Paul makes reference to our impact on others. He told Philemon that he refreshed the bowels of the saints. In other words, Philemon, you are a refreshing Christian. And the question is, when we look in the mirror, are we a refreshing Christian? When people come around me, am I exhibiting love? And am I exhibiting patience? Am I looking in the very best of people? I believe we're called to do that. If our Lord is patient with us, if our Lord is loving to us, if He's compassionate to us, that's what kind of person we need to be. We need to influence people with love and joy and or love and patience and all of these other attributes. It's the kind of Lord that He was. The Lord, He was this kind of God. He was a patient God and a loving God. He influenced people. Touched a lot of lives. And then we see that he was introduced by John the Baptist. He had John the Baptist, he prepared the way for the Lord. And so we're looking at the serving period of the Lord's life. Again, this goes from 30 years old to 33 years old. And really, when you break it down and you think about it, the Lord did a whole lot in a small amount of time. Not only this morning, the people were involved. John the Baptist, others that he influenced. But when it comes to the serving period in his life, prayer was involved. Prayer. Jesus set the example of prayer. The Lord taught his disciples how to pray. And the Lord tells us to not stop praying. Several times in Scripture, you'll find where Jesus set himself apart and he prayed. There was one particular account. When Jesus was sharing the gospel and the Pharisees were out to get him. In fact, it was when he touched the man with the withered hand. He told him to stretch forth thine hand. And we know that his hand it was able to come out of the reclusive stage it was in. And it was like his other hand. The Pharisees didn't like that. And so now they were after Jesus. And the Bible says that Jesus went into a mountain apart to pray. And he prayed all night to God. The very next day, he started to elect his disciples. And so Jesus, he knew he had to come apart, separate himself, and pray about several issues. You know, it's a true saying this morning. If we don't come apart and pray, we'll come apart. Or if we don't come apart, we'll come apart. But we need to come apart and pray. We must pray. So I'm glad this morning that Jesus, during his serving period, he gave the example of prayer. He taught his disciples how to pray. And he told us not to stop praying. There's a third stage this morning. Not only the silent period, the silent stage, the serving stage, but then there's the sacrificial stage or the sacrificial period. This period was the days or the time leading to the cross. Matthew 26 for a moment, verse number 39. We see in this sacrificial stage, this specific time period before the cross, that the Lord was compliant with the Father. In Matthew 26, verse number 39, the Bible says, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. This was that compliance stage. Of course, he was always faithful and compliant with the Father, but it was during this time where he prayed in agony and he looked into that cup of suffering and he knew why he came to bleed and die and to rise again. We know that. But it was during this awful time of agony was when he prayed, Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Anybody ever prayed that before? Those dealing with sickness And my goodness, my little situation with my back, let this cup pass from me. Not fun. Not fun at all. A lot of agony. It's a time of stress, a time of pain. But it does teach you to pray. But he said, nevertheless. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. He was compliant with the Father's plans. And I don't know who may be going through what this morning. Those watching on Facebook, if you're going through something that's out of sorts in your life, and it's not pleasant, maybe it seems like you're going through a silent time and God's not answering you or talking to you. There's no direction in your life. There always has to be a time of nevertheless. In other words, how we thought things should go. How we thought things should work out in life. Well, Lord, I thought that you was going to use me this way here. Or, Lord, I thought that, you know, the job would have kept me there. Sometimes in life, we actually think that God is silent, and we think we missed the will of God, but many times, God is getting us to that place of nevertheless, where we accept what is happening, and where we fully trust the Lord and His providence that He's truly working. We trust that the Lord, and somehow, in some way, during all of the mess, the muck, the mire, the stress, the agony, all we have to believe somewhere in that process, the Lord is progressing us spiritually. So he says, nevertheless, nevertheless, he was compliant with the Father's plan. Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And so during this sacrificial period, there was compliance. But praise the Lord, there was completion. In John 19, I'll just give it to you. John chapter number 19. Notice if you would in verse number 30. Or I'll share it with you. Verse number 30. Thought I had it marked. He says, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. It's finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. He completed the path God had for him. And starting out in that silent period and going to the serving period, then the sacrificial period, he completed God's plan. He completed his course. What about us this morning? Will we finish faithfully to the very end? One more thing and we'll be through. There was conquering. We won't turn there, but I'll give it to you in Luke 24:34. He didn't stay on the cross. He didn't stay in the grave, but he conquered death. The Bible says, the Lord is risen indeed. He wasn't there. He was alive. And you see this morning, in order to experience the power of his resurrection, there has to be the experience of the fellowship of his suffering. Resurrection power, resurrection only comes when there's a death. And you may be here this morning. You may say, Brother Justin, I need resurrecting power in my life. What I would tell you is there has to be death to self. There has to be that, nevertheless, Lord, not as my will, not as my will, but thine will be done. And that's when the Lord works in a very, very mighty way. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Father, we love you, we thank you, we praise you. Although we have briefed the life of the Lord, we feel like that these three specific time frames are very important. There may be someone watching or someone here this morning who says the Lord is silent in my life. Just let them know that God is working providentially. May they know that there's the call to progress spiritually as well. Father, whatever the case is, whatever the situation is, I pray that you will do a big work this morning. Help us all be compliant with your will. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing, if you need to come this morning and pray, you come.
Have thine own way, have thine own way. Thou art.
Anybody else? We serve a Lord that's always working.
Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, you did and still.
Continuing to sing while these are praying.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way.
Those watching, this is your opportunity as well.
Search me and try me, Master.
Sing another verse while these are praying. If you need to come, you come this morning. You may just want to come and thank Him. Amen, amen. That'll be enough singing this morning. We'll still consider these that are praying. I do want to mention the tithes and offerings. We'll have those, the plates available at the entrances of the church. So remember that opportunity to give. Also remember the service tonight, Facebook Live only at 6 o'clock. And so anything else to mention? Missing anything? It's just good to be here this morning. So good to see everybody back with us. And trust you got something from the Lord. All right. We'll be dismissing a word of prayer. Everyone have a great and safe afternoon. Brother Seelong, would you close us out?